Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and worthy name of the beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. We count it a great privilege and an honor for His sake to be ministering the precious and the holy word to your heart. It is our humble but earnest prayer that the truth of God will be sanctified for your blessing eternally. We continue and conclude the particular study of God's future purpose for the church. We have emphasized in the parable of the pearl, in the scripture that we read from the 5th chapter of the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, as well as in Revelation chapter 19, to which we turn again, that the purpose of God for the church is that that blessed church should be the object of the eternal affection and constant love of the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. My beloved, please get your heart and mind centered on the fact that the church is for Christ and for His blessing and eternal joy. Oh, what a purpose! Not only is the church the vehicle, and to be the vehicle and instrument of His glory, even in the present scene as she ought, and will yet be in eternal ages. But oh, the greatest delight and the motive of the heart of God to form the church is to present it to Christ, a glorious church, to be the worthy object of His affection forever. We read Revelation 19 again, reading verses 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousnesses, properly translated the righteous deeds or acts of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. We have emphasized that it is the marriage of the Lamb. The prominent person in the wedding will not be the bride, contrary to all earthly procedure, but the prominent display of honor will be upon the bridegroom, and that one the Lamb. Oh, will you not meditate with me with delight that it is the marriage of the Lamb, and that it is stipulated as being the Lamb, a name that implies to the heart of the bride, it is His sacrificial name, that also implies it is the bridal name of the bridegroom, and what a day of glory that will be when the marriage is performed. We have noted that the description of the actual marriage is omitted, for the scene is not for the earth, but it is a scene for heaven alone. But oh, may we point out in our closing thoughts that the crowning glory of the bride is revealed. And I wish you to note particularly with care the closing words of verse 7, His wife hath made herself ready. Will you note those words with me? She has made herself ready. I would distinctly point out to you that there is a responsibility for the bride herself implied in these words to make her own wedding garment to be the beauty and the satisfaction for her bridegroom's heart. My beloved, the simplicity and the beauty for the eyes of Christ and for His heart to enjoy can be and will be provided by the bride for Him. Now, may I point out a contrast? You that have studied the Word of God may know that after the church is taken from the earth, there will still be a professing church down here on the earth, and it will be the false church. You may read of that false bride in Revelation chapter 17. You will find her described in purple and scarlet, wearing the gorgeous colors of the earth. But oh, you will also find that that false church will be outwardly adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. She will be arrayed in the natural beauty of earthly gems, the products that are found in the old creation that is made by God here below. But when we read of the beauty and the adornment of the true bride, we find in verse 8 she is arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. It is this fine linen, clean and white, that reveals not the outward beauty, rather the inward beauty of the bride to her bridegroom. My beloved, may I state, it is the inward beauty of the bride, the moral and spiritual beauty of the bride, that is to be the delight of the bridegroom's heart, not that which is outward. The true church will be adorned with her righteous deeds, the deeds of the saints, which are the fruits of the new creation, which her bridegroom himself has been able to produce in her and through her. My beloved, may I emphasize what the words really imply? May I go back to emphasize those words of verse 7? His wife hath made herself ready. First of all, it is true that she will be arrayed in the righteousness that his love and grace and power and that his precious blood has provided for her, the righteousness of God in Christ. But, beloved, the beauty of the bride to the heart of Christ will be the adornment of her deeds, the righteous acts, the righteous testimony that she has borne in this world for him. My beloved fellow believer, I want you to understand a certain truth. You and I in our lives for the Savior on the earth, we are weaving the beauty of that wedding garment. We are forming the beauty of our adornment in that day. True, he will see us as having loved and as having purchased us with his blood and as having cared for us through this scene, that he might have his church, his bride, his matchless pearl. But will you again permit me to repeat without apology? The scripture says his wife hath made herself ready. My beloved, these words tell to us a truth that we very little realize. What we are in this world, what we do in this world for the Lord Jesus, will be the adornment of our wedding garment in that wonderful day. Now let me link it very carefully with what we saw in relation to the judgment of the church. We found as we studied the scriptures in Romans and the epistle of Paul to the Corinthians that at the judgment seat of Christ the works of the believer and the works of the church will be thus reviewed by her Lord. And those works that remain through the testing of that fire in the day of judgment, those works will be the adornment of the wedding garment. What you and I have done for Christ, he will value. And though we are saved by grace alone, he will look for the beauty of our lives as they have been lit for him, producing the gold, the silver, the precious stones for that day of glory. And those works, again let me repeat as we have it in verse 8, the fine linen, is the righteous deeds of the saints. May I tell you, my fellow believer, the Lord Jesus values and will manifest the value of it in that day. He values the works, the testimony that you and I bear for him, for his glory here. My beloved, you will not have any time to get ready when the wedding comes. Down here is where you and I are indeed weaving our wedding garment of beauty to put upon that wedding garment in that day when the marriage of the Lamb is come. And he will look upon his bride and not only fear as the matchless pearl that he has bought for himself by the sacrifice of his own death upon the cross of Calvary, and for which he has cared throughout this scene of her pilgrimage, and which he will present to himself. But he will value all that she suffered, all that she has done, all that she has been, for his sake here below. Beloved, may I say, this is the purpose of God for the church. And in the day of the marriage, Christ's love for his church, his care for his church, throughout all her earthly pilgrimage will prove it has not been in vain. Through grace upon grace, he will ultimately receive his bride as the suitable and eternal object for his everlasting love, and she will be to him the pearl of great price. May I once again contrast the false church, as you may read it in Revelation 17? That false church is outwardly adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls of natural beauty, the products of the old creation that God made, this literal creation. But in the day of the marriage of the Lamb, the true church will be adorned by the beauty of what her testimony has been for her bridegroom here upon the earth. Then may I remark, the false church will be destroyed, as you may read in Revelation 17, before the Lamb is united in matrimony to his true bride. There shall be no other person or persons claiming to be the bride of Christ when the marriage comes. The false church will be absolutely destroyed as Christ looks upon his eternal bride in the day of the wedding. I say again, my friend, you can be there if you will. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Will you be there? Oh, trust the Savior and his precious blood and be counted among the blessed. Shall we pray? Father, sanctify these truths to thy glory, our Savior's honor, thy people's blessing, and the salvation of sinners. Amen.